Okay. Okay. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Davis Huff. We're excited that you're here for Youth Sunday. We hope this is a special service for you. Our entire group has been praying that all of us would hear God speak directly to us in a powerful way. We would like to find out who's in worship today. There are worship pads on each pew, and we would like for everyone to sign in so that we know you are here. Members, please write your name and let us know if any of your contact information has changed, and then check the boxes which apply. Guests, please write your name, contact information, age, and then check your boxes that apply to you. And then once you're done with the pad, please pass it down so that everyone on the pew can sign. When it reaches the end, please take it down to the beginning. And when it comes back to the first person, please tear the pages that you used today so that the ushers can pick them up later. So there are several things printed in your bulletin. We are collecting goodies for our college exam packed run. These will be made during lunch today, so thank you guys all for contributing to that for our college students. We would like to say a special welcome to our guests today. We have ushers coming down the aisles now. If you're a guest this morning, we would like to give you a little bit of information about our church. We ask that any guests raise your hands, and our ushers will give you a packet of information. This packet has a letter from our pastor, a newsletter, and a little bit of information about our church. We hope that this worship service will be especially meaningful for you, so thank you guys for coming. Today, we're spending our time in worship saying thanks. With all that we have been given by our church, we want to say thank you. With all that God has done for us, we want to say thank you. And with who God is, we want to say thank you. We hope that the service today will remind you of all the blessings that we have and be challenged to live a life of gratitude and thanks. Thanks again for being here. I hope you guys are all excited to see what we have prepared for you.
Clap your hands. Our scripture reading for today comes from selected verses from Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for he is good, his love endures forever. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
Will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for the opportunity for the youth to lead worship today. Thank you for allowing us to gather here in your name this morning. We can't wait to see what you will reveal to us in this time and see how you will use us to spread your word. Please help for everyone to have strength and feel good today. And please help us to have a good rest of the day and an even better week. In your name we pray. Amen.
Water turning wine. Open eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you.
Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you.
Yeah. will be reading from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. I thank God, whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as the night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Louise and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I am reminded you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about your Lord or of his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you have heard from me, keep this as a pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Jesus Christ. Guard the good deposit that you entrust to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us.
We will be reading a sample of thank you notes that we wrote to God. Dear God, I am so thankful that I have you. You've blessed me with an amazing family that supports me in everything I do. Thank you for giving me College Park Baptist Church. I am inspired by every person at this church. They inspire me to be a better person. Thank you for giving me the talent and passion I have for swimming. I would not be where I am without my sport. Most of all, thank you for giving up your son to die on the cross. You gave up your one and only perfect son to save this world from sin. I am so thankful that you forgave me when I make mistakes. Thank you for making me a better me.
God, thank you. Thank you for being a consistent, safe harbor for me. I am so grateful to have been raised in your love, grace, and acceptance. Having the reassurance that you're always there for me has had a huge impact on my life. Thank you for being the greatest support system there is, for listening to me always, and for lighting the way, steering me into the right direction. I have no idea where I'll be without you, but I'm glad I'll never have to find out.
God, thank you for setting an example for how to live. Thank you for your endless and reckless love. Without you, we would be in the dark and struggling. Without you, we wouldn't understand love. Thank you for giving me a wonderful family, media, and church. Thank you for giving me such an amazing group of people to grow fondly alongside of. Thank you for sending Jesus for us. Your precious Son saved us. And the Bible says in Psalms 30:12, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever.
Dear God, thank you for dying on the cross for me. God, thank you for my life, for my family, for my shelter. God, thank you for being understanding. Thank you for forgiving. God, for most importantly, thank you for your love. Thank you.
We invite you to stand and sing for the world. Thank you.
Please pray with me. Dear Lord, thank you for everything you have blessed us with, this beautiful earth, the wonderful weather, and a world filled with life. Now it is our turn to give what we can to you. Please bless this offering so it may be used to glorify you. These things we ask in your name. Amen.
You'll see behind us, there are the word simply says thanks. Our young people wrote thank you notes to God and to their family and to the people in our church. And these are the thank you notes. We want to let you know that it all comes back to this song. What gives us thanks is this song and what it says about who Jesus is. All praise the name.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For in this days we
the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trample death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord. Shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord our God. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
Reading a sample of the thank you notes that we wrote to our church family and our parents. College Park, thank you. Thanks for teaching me about God and His everlasting love, and for being invaluable role models in my life and my walk with Christ, for showing me what it means to be a Christian, and for supporting me in every endeavor. The sense of community I feel at this church has brought me comfort since day one. I want to thank everyone here for acting as my second family, especially in times when my own has struggled. Finding a church worthy of being called a home is a dream for many, but a reality for me. Thank you for all you've done in my life and all that you will continue to do.
Thank you, Mom. I don't even know where to start. You have always been there for me, even when I'm being a pain. You have such an important role in my life. I will most definitely be lost without you here. Thank you for always being my biggest fan and pushing me to do my best. You are such a strong, kind, stubborn, and independent woman. Thank you for always giving me the best advice, even though I don't take it sometimes. Thank you, Mom, for always listening to me. Out of all the moms in the world, how did I end up with the best of all? I love you, Mom. Thank you.
College Park, thank you. Ever since our trip to Belize, you have been there for me. From prayer to your constant support to even your great big hugs. Every time I see you, I want to give you a hug. You are so welcoming and kind. You have really helped me on my spiritual journey, and you always made me feel loved. I cannot express how much I love and appreciate your support.
Dear Mom and Dad, thank you for all you do for me. Thank you for food, water, and shelter. Thank you for taking me places I need to go and getting me things I need. Most importantly, your love, as it says in 1 Chronicles 16:34. Thank God. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Thank you.
Thank you. Morning. How is everybody? Good, good. Thank you for being here.
Thanks
for being here. I'm Bryson May, for those of you who don't know me. Today I get the privilege of coming before you and trying to give you a little bit of insight to what I think Thanksgiving is and what Thanksgiving means to me. So the way that when Jeff asked me to do this, I sort of looked at this passage, the passage that we've been reading that Jake read for us earlier. And I kind of broke it down. It took me several times to kind of look at it and read it. And I thought that I'd break it down a little bit this morning, kind of explain what I thought that that 2 Timothy was saying to us. So I was going to give you some background before I start, and because as Raymond says, context, 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 right? You got to keep that context going, yeah. So we see that in 2 Timothy that Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy is going to be Paul's successor. Timothy is going to be is raising up, and he's going to what Paul has been working towards, because Paul knows that he's going to pass away soon, and he needs a successor to pass on that information. So the whole book of 2 Timothy is sort of a letter from Paul to Timothy, kind of expressing his thoughts, his final beliefs, and sort of kind of reiterating what he wants to tell to Timothy, which is his successor. So in verse 3 in 2 Timothy, this is what it says. It says, "I thank God whom I serve, as my ancestors did with a clear conscience. As night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers." So we see here in verse 3, we see that Paul is thanking God for the things that he's blessed him with. And reminding Timothy is an important part of the relationship between him and God, to thank him and praise him out throughout the day and the night. So over and over again, you know, we see that we have, as a relationship, as Christians, we have to have that relationship with God where we thank him day in and day out. And that sort of brings me to the question is, what is Thanksgiving? So I looked it up, and I sort of found that Thanksgiving is totally tied to God. So the more we learn about God, the more we should praise him and we should glorify him. When we learn more about God, we are open to what we see he has created for us, and we should be thankful for the things he's created for us. And we see that the definitions that I found are directly tied to these verses in 2 Timothy. And Paul is telling us in verse 3 that we must thank God continuously and constantly for even the smallest things in our life, because his creation is very special to us and is magnificent. But some people ask, you know, how do we give thanks in such a messy world today? You know, we're in such a sinful and messy world. How do we give thanks? Well, from reading these verses and from considering about how we can do this, I see that we must follow the examples of others. We must follow the example of what Jesus set for us. We must follow the examples of maybe someone you look up to, of how they are thankful. How they are thankful and how they give thanks in this world. As Christians, we have to be the light to the world and shine to others and to show them that we are thankful for the things God has given us. A quick example is, I remember when we went to Belize 2 years ago, we came back and it was a great trip. We loved it. When we came back and we got off the air terminal, I was walking behind Owen Blink. The man goes up and says, "I'm thankful to be back here." He kisses the air terminal. "I'm thankful to be back here in the U.S. And the first thing that we did is we went to eat. And I've never enjoyed Chick-fil-A more in my life than at that moment. I haven't. But that's a small thing of thanks, of how thankful, how much we can take for granted sometimes, and we have to remember to be thankful. Going on to verse 4, we see, "Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy." So this one I sort of kind of went back and forth with, but I created a parallel between this one. We see that in verse 4 that Paul is recalling the hardships that Timothy has gone through, as well as put himself through. We see that Paul is telling Timothy that he is excited to see Timothy again and thinks about seeing him, because it fills Paul with joy. So with looking at this verse, I sort of made a parallel between us and heaven. I made a parallel by saying that how us as Christians, we're excited to go home to heaven. You know, heaven is our real home. There's a quote by Billy Graham that I found that says, "My home is heaven. I'm just traveling through this world." I took that verse and I say, okay, heaven is our home, or heaven is our real home. We're just traveling through this world spreading God's news. When we get to heaven, we're going to rejoice with God and we're going to be thankful. We're longing to see God when we get to heaven. And we have to remember that as Christians to be thankful. We're excited one day to go and rejoice with God and to commune with him every single day and go into the gates. And we have to be thankful for those things that he's given us here on earth. And finally, we see in verse 5, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now also lives in you. So finally, from this final verse, I see that Paul is telling Timothy that he must remain strong in his faith in the Lord, just as his ancestors did, and not stray away from him. And so I think that in this verse, we must follow the example that Paul told to Timothy and be filled with faith and love of Jesus. So when I was reading this, I thought about thinking about my ancestors or thinking about my family. Think about someone that you looked up to as a kid or look up to now. How did you want to be like them? How did you want to be thankful like them? If they were thankful, they rose you up in the church. If they taught you about God, how do we be able to be like them? How do we have thanks like them? And as Paul reminds us, we have to be thankful just as our ancestors were. As we all see, as Christians, we are deeply rooted in Christ. I see all of you, every one of you in here today has helped me to the point where I am in my Christian walk right now. And I thank you for that wonderful experience. And I believe that God has truly blessed us with so many things. Even the smallest thing, every breath that we take every day, God has blessed us with it. So in just a minute, you're about to hear some more. I just kind of broke down the verses for you. But in a minute, you're about to hear some more stories about personal thanks from our other youth. And they're really good stories, some funny, some good. There's some great stories in there. But I just wanted to thank you for all that you do for our youth group. It's truly a joy to be a part of this youth group and to come before you. I hope that you'll take this verse and you'll remember that one day when we go to heaven and we rejoice with God, that we're going to rejoice with him and Jesus. He'll be at the right foot of God, and it's going to be a beautiful thing. So I'd like to welcome up Reese Alexander next, and she's going to give some more stories of thanks and praise, and I wanted to thank you all for listening. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Reese Alexander. In this passage, Paul is thanking God for all the things that he has done for him. So today, I'm thanking my family for helping me grow in my faith. When I was first born, my family went to a sister church in the area. This is when I was first introduced to going to church every Sunday morning. I remember the trunk or treats and Wednesday night meals just like it was yesterday. I learned about Noah's Ark and Zacchaeus. When I was around 4, my family decided to switch churches. We visited many churches and finally found College Park. I remember when I was little, I had to leave Miss Stephanie Phillips' Sunday school classes and go and find my mom. It's crazy to think how shy I used to be. When I decided to give my life to Jesus, I was 8 years old. My parents were so proud of me. We were walking on the beach, and I realized that this beautiful earth was all part of God's creation. That is when I decided to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. My parents and grandparents have always inspired me to be more like Christ. With my dad as a counselor and my mom as a pharmacist, they are around many people every day. They are so nice to every customer and client they have. I really do believe people can see Christ in them when they talk to them. They have inspired me to do the same with my swimming. I have met so many people from all over the country. I try to be nice to all of my competitors, even if they're the best swimmers there. Also, I would like to thank my brother Wilson for always being there for me. We have always tried to keep Christ as our focus and be his hands and feet. I'm so thankful for my family and this church for helping me grow in my faith. Now I would like to thank Sarah Groover to speak, or I would like to welcome her.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Sarah Groover. In this passage, Paul is writing to Timothy. Paul is talking about how Timothy has grown in his faith and how he misses him and longs to be with his brother in faith. Now, digging into the passage, Paul is talking about how Timothy was taught about God and continued to grow in his faith from the teachings of Lois, his grandmother, and Eunice, his mother. The significance of this is that the faith is being passed down generation to generation. Timothy learned from his mother, who learned from his grandmother. This is much like what happens here at College Park. We keep this chain going. When a child is born into this church, they are immediately surrounded by loving people and are being taught the love of God through the family of believers here. It starts in the nursery, in preschool classes, and continues throughout every class that they are a part of. It's not just the Sunday school teachers or Wednesday night activities. It's also personal relationships that people of all ages build as part of the College Park community. I hope that I can help the children of College Park learn and grow as well. Personally, this has been very important to me because our family does not have a very close extended family. Our family, other than my parents and Jake and my grandmother, did not really have a very big religious background. When my parents moved to Winston-Salem, I was about 6 months old, and I can't really remember that much. But then as I grew older, our neighbor invited us to go to another church in the area, and nothing really clicked. I didn't really feel as a family there. When I was finally invited to come to College Park for the first time, something clicked. Not just for me. Attending this church has made such a big impact on my family, along with myself. We have developed relationships here that support us in good times and in bad times. I've personally grown so much in faith, from being baptized after revival to Miss Mary and Jeff teaching me the love of God through music and constant encouragement. Mr. Ron Cobble was my very first prayer partner at this church. He was one of the very first people to show me the love the people of this church have for others and for God. He prayed for me and talked to me and supported me, and for all of that, I am very thankful. Through the prayer partner ministry, I have become very close to Mr. Jim and Miss Leanne Purnell. They have honestly become like second family to me. Mr. Ken and Miss Anita Hatchett were my Belize mission trip prayer partners, but I've become so very close. Every time I see either of them, they always check in and see how I'm doing and give me a big hug. There are countless other people, and I could be here all day telling you the stories of support and love that I feel every time I walk into the doors of this church. For that, I'm extremely thankful, and I know I have built lifelong relationships with the people here, and I have a strong foundation for my Christian faith for my walk with God. I would like to welcome Davis Huff to come up and share her stories. Thank you.
Hi. Most of you guys know me, but for those of you who don't, I've been coming to College Park since I was born. Some of my fondest memories here include the times I've spent with countless individuals that go here who have led me in my walk with Christ. Everyone here has touched my life in some way, and I thank you all for making up my church family. From an early age, you guys have taught me all that I know about being a Christian. From Mrs. Bernice Hudspeth and Mission Friends, all the way to Jeff and everyone involved in the youth group here, I have learned so much from all of you. I have been able to witness firsthand what it looks like to be a good role model, from long talks with Rebecca Edmonds, weekends at Camp Canoga with Jason Cogdell, and Parkin and Pofftowns with the Butendorps. Every experience that I've had here is a cherished memory, and I'm grateful for people who have set such great examples. With all of that being said, the people who have had the greatest impacts in my life are the ones whose faith and trust in the Lord remains strong even in times of doubt and tragedy. Pastor Raymond and Mrs. Sandra Smith have been like second set of parents to me since the day that I was born, loving me and supporting me every step of the way. They are, along with Ashton, prime examples of people with the strongest faith imaginable, never ceasing to love him, trust him, and spread his word. I stand in awe of their family, and I'm honored to call it an extension of my own. In researching the passage that we're talking about today, I read multiple versions. One in particular really stood out to me, so I'll read 2 Timothy 1,
6 through 14 again, sorry. In the Contemporary English Version, it reads, "So I ask you to make full use of the gift that God gave you when I placed my hands on you. Use it well. God's Spirit doesn't make cowards out of us. The Spirit gives us power, love, and self-control. Don't be ashamed to speak for our Lord, and don't be ashamed of me just because I am in jail for serving him. Use the power that comes from God and join with me in suffering for telling the good news. God saved us and chose us to be his holy people. We did nothing to deserve this, but God planned it because he is so kind. Even before time began, God planned for Christ Jesus to show kindness to us. Now Christ Jesus has come to show us the kindness of God. Christ our Savior defeated death and brought us the good news. It shines like a light and offers life that never ends. My work is to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. That's why I am suffering now. But I am not ashamed. I know the one I have faith in, and I am sure that he can guard until the last day what he has trusted me with. Now follow the example of the correct teaching I gave you, and let the faith and love of Christ Jesus be your model. You have been trusted with a wonderful treasure. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives within you." In this passage, Paul touches on the struggles that he has faced and the persecution that he's experienced from spreading God's word. Even still, he expresses that he has no regrets about teaching his word, and he encourages us to do so as well. In times of suffering, he holds tight to his beliefs, and his faith seems to grow even stronger. He asks us to make full use of our gifts from God and use them to lead others to him. In verse 12, he says, "But I am not ashamed. I know the one I have faith in." Though Paul has suffered at the hands of those who don't know Christ, he never doubts him for a minute because his faith is so strong. He urges everyone to guard their faith when times are difficult. He says in verse 14, "Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives within you." As I embark on a new journey and start college in the fall, I will be holding tight to the lessons that I've learned here and using them to further my spiritual journey. I'm so glad to have such a solid foundation, and it's all thanks to the examples I've followed from such a young age. You all make up a support system that is so crucial to our youth group. Everyone here teaches us how Christians should be, and I have faith that your examples will be invaluable for keeping my faith strong in college. So thank you.
Sometimes people ask me, "What do you do?" And by your laughter, it sounds like you wonder that too. Well, the great joy of my job is I get to do exactly what you've seen here this morning. It's easy to come to work when you have young people like this. When they challenge you, when they're here to learn about God's word and to encourage one another, it's not always 100% roses, but it's real. And through our struggles and through our questions and our doubts, these young people are thankful for the place called College Park. They are thankful for God and for what he has done and who he is. They are thankful for Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. They're thankful for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And all those things you have taught them. But the truth is, it's easy for us to say thank you to God and thank you to one another. But do we live a life of gratitude? There's a quote that I put in the bottom of all my emails, and it's mostly for me and not for the people I email. Karl Barth said, "Joy is the essential part of gratitude. If we are joyful, it tells us that we are grateful no matter where we are and what we're going through. Joy never changes because God never changes, and he gives us purpose for this life. So I'm going to be grateful for how he gives and he gives and he gives." Our challenge is, are we always going to be grateful? Do we treat each other
with thanksgiving and thankfulness for their friendship, for their influence? Do we thank God by whatever happens in the day, we give him praise? That's the essence of gratitude. That's the essence of joy. We have one final song we're going to sing this morning. It's called Lord, I Need You. We encourage you to consider the words that are in your bulletin or on the screen behind me. This is the message for us. Do we really need God? And do we act like it? And how we treat people and treat one another each and every day? Would you stand and sing, Lord, I Need You? That's our prayer as we leave here today. Our prayer is those are the words that you're singing as you leave here. Lord, I need you. Our prayer is that God would take you with a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving, living a life that he has called us. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you that all of this begins and ends with you. You are the giver of life. Thank you for these young people who continue to inspire, continue to encourage us to live a life following Christ. As we leave this place, may we be more grateful than when we came. And may our lives reflect the goodness that you give us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great day. What?